want to welcome you here today and ask you, if you would, to take your Bibles. We're going to read a verse, be the foundation of the message I'll share today for our graduates. It's Proverbs 9 and verse 10. If you want to use the black pew Bible that's there in the rack, it will be page 582. If you find that, you'll be right on the page where I'll be reading. Proverbs 9 and verse 10. Word of God says this: the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Last summer, Joyce and I took some of our family members and we joined some of her relatives. We went down for a family reunion to the old family farm on Joyce's side of the family in Sturgis, Mississippi. A lot of people have heard of Sturgis, South Dakota. Sturgis, Mississippi is just a little bit of a blip there on the map, not too far from Mississippi State. As a matter of fact, the farm that we went to has no of the modern conveniences, especially of the plumbing venue, and so we had to use the outhouse that was out to the back there a little ways. And, you know, not really being a country boy myself, I've used those before, but I was a little shaky about going into this, so I pulled my phone out and turned on the flashlight on it to make sure I could see my way in there. And I think I've told some of you that when I opened that door and stepped inside and the door slammed behind me, that light fell right upon the biggest spider I've ever seen in my life. I took a picture of it because I wanted to show people, and then I was so scared I got out of there as quickly as possible. That's how far back in the country here in Mississippi we were, and where my wife Joyce's relatives grew up. Somewhere back in that history, one of the farmers that was a member of her family sent their son off to Mississippi State to get an education. So he went off to college, and when he came back, he went down to the little general store there in Sturgis to kind of talk to the old men that sat around the potbelly stove and kind of just, you know, reacquaint them after his 4 years away. Wait a minute, he went to Mississippi State, so it was 5 years later. Just kidding. So he comes back, and some of the older men said, well, what did you learn in college? And he says, well, I was a math major. I'm going to be a math teacher, and I majored in geometry. So the farmer says, well, stand up and tell us something that you learned in geometry. And the young man stood up and proudly declared, pi r squared. And instantly, all those farmers started laughing, and old grandpa slapped his leg and says, everybody knows pi aren't squared, pi are round, you know. And that's what started that conversation there. So just as foolish as that seems to those farmers down in the middle of Mississippi, that pi are squared because they don't understand the references, there are certain things about us as believers that we better nail down, especially if we're going to graduate and move on in life, to make sure that we've got our senses about us. And the scripture tells us here that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. One of the things I hope that you'll understand is that as in America, in high school and in college, we have names for each grade. So we have freshman and sophomore, junior and senior. If you're a senior today, or this year you've been a senior and you're about to graduate and go off into your life, you are so happy and everybody's proud of you, and you've probably been one of the most popular persons on campus this last year because you're a senior. We understand that. To be a freshman is, it's hard wherever you go to, and every time you're a freshman, remember you're always starting over. So when you get to be a senior in high school and you move to college, guess what? You get to be a freshman again. So that's not a really great grade to be in. I did some research on the internet, you know, and everything on the internet is true, so I'm sure this is, that the hardest grade in school is to be a junior, because everything is expected of you. You're starting to take some harder AP courses. Everybody is wanting to know where you're going to go to college, what you're going to do next year, so being a junior is a difficult thing. But let me explain why I think being a sophomore is the hardest year in school. It all comes back to this, because if you really understand what a sophomore is, what that word means, you'll discover that it's a very strenuous thing for us to live up to. As a matter of fact, once you realize what a sophomore is, you realize that you can be a sophomore no matter what grade you're in, what age you are, or how long you've been out of school. You still could be a sophomore, especially if you work really hard at it. Let's figure out what it means to be a sophomore, because today I want to tell you, please, don't be a sophomore, all right? This is what it is. The word sophomore is made up of two Greek words put together. The first one is sophos, or sophos, and that means wisdom. So far, so good. But before you get too excited about being a sophomore, the second part of that word sophomore is the word moros. It is the Greek word where we get our word moron from. It means foolish or ignorant or even stupid in some scenarios. And so if you are dull of learning, you would be a moros or moron. So putting those two things together, wisdom and moronic behavior, what we discover is that the word sophomore is somebody who is knowledgeable, but they're very foolish in it. Or they have a lot of understanding, but they're very immature. And so I want to encourage you today not to be a sophomore anymore. Now, some of my friends down here are sophomores in school, and one of these days they won't be, so that's good. But I'm talking about more for all of us. Don't be a sophomore. Don't be somebody that's so wise and yet immature in how you reflect the knowledge that you have. The way it was said by a professor I had in college was this: sophomore is somebody who doesn't know everything but doesn't know they don't know everything. So that is a dilemma, a smart fool. I read about some of those several years ago. One that stood out in my mind was this guy who bought a brand new pickup truck, and he wanted to show it off to all of his friends. Up north where we lived, it was popular to drive your truck out on the ice and go fishing. And in the wintertime in Wisconsin, especially around Madison, Wisconsin, we'd see on the lakes all these little tents put up, and people would be out there fishing for most of the wintertime. This guy drove his big pickup truck out on the ice. Now, don't tell anybody this, but up north when ice gets thick and they do some fishing, they fish in some creative ways. And one of those creative ways is to light a stick of dynamite and throw it out on the lake, and when it explodes, it opens up a hole for you to get in there and go fishing for those fish. I wouldn't try that in normal life, but I'm just telling you it does take place. So this guy lit his stick of dynamite and he threw it out there. He had forgotten that he had his dog with him, so his dog immediately bolted out of the back of the truck, ran out there and grabbed the dynamite into his mouth and started running back. So the guy grabs his gun out of his truck and he just shoots around the dog trying to scare him and to drop that dynamite stick. And the dog was so petrified he didn't know what to do, so he ran back and hid under the guy's truck. As soon as he did that, all the guys that were with him, instead of being happy about this new truck, started running off the lake. Eventually, the dynamite blew, the dog was killed, the truck ended up in the bottom of the lake, and ice was everywhere. This guy was a sophomore. He acted like he was smart, but he was a moron when it came to demonstrating it. And the capstone of the story is this. It was a new truck, and he had forgotten to make sure it was covered by insurance before he took it out on the lake there in Madison, Wisconsin. Don't be a sophomore. Don't be somebody in life who is so smart, but you demonstrate it in foolishness. Psalm 53:1 says this: "The fool says in his heart, God does not exist." So let me get on the kind of a serious side here for a moment to our graduates. You're about to go out into a world. You've learned a lot of things in high school. You're mature. Your parents have trusted you to a new level. You're able to do a lot of things on your own and by your own decisions, your own power. But you're about to go out into a world and realize that there are a lot of enemies against the things that you have been taught. Things that you have been taught in Sunday school, things you've been taught in your home by your parents. There are people who have other ideas and other voices and other demands that are out there ahead of you that you're going to face. Now, I'm not saying you've been sheltered. I'm just saying that you are about to be bombarded by things that will challenge the things that you have grown up thinking are always true. Now, one of those that our world teaches us that if God does exist, it doesn't matter. He does not care about us. That is a popular thing nowadays. We hear the voice of atheism raising its head again in our culture, and they're saying that there is no God. Other voices raise, and they're saying that if there is a God, don't worry about it because he doesn't have any power and he doesn't care anything about you anyway. when you hear those voices, I don't want you to be a sophomore, someone who has heard a lot of truth. You are learning great things from the people around you, and so you buy into, in a foolish way, all the stuff, the bill of goods that the world wants to sell you. Be wise. Have understanding. Keep trusting in God, because the day will come when some professor or some friend or somebody that you work with will begin to challenge all the things that you've believed, and you will need some place to go back to and find your solid rock. And that is your relationship with God. Most of us think, like I did, when you graduate from high school or college and you go through commencement. I never really looked up that word. I thought commencement was kind of the end, you know, celebrating getting out of something. But if you look up that word, it's not really the end, it's the beginning, to commence to do something. And I think that makes sense to all of us. When we graduate and we're starting something new, we are commencing a new part of our life. It's not the completion. So it's not how well you took the test, but how well you learned the things that you will need for life ahead. Right now, when you finish your senior year in school, or you graduate from college, you're going to be surprised that most people will not ask you what your grade point average was. Maybe that's important to get into a college. Maybe it's important for a while to make sure where your rank is. But when you go out into the world, no employee is going to really care what your grade point average was. They're going to want to know, do you know the things you need to know to be successful in the rest of your life? So it's not how well you did on the test. It's how well you learned the things you will need to know for life ahead. One of the verses in Proverbs 4:7, Bible says this: wisdom is supreme, so get wisdom. Though it cost all that you have, get understanding. So real quickly, let me talk to you again about those two things. First of all, wisdom. There's a certain amount of wisdom you need that is biblical instruction. We make a big deal as you're going through Sunday school and through your youth group that you learn a few things about the Bible. You should know how to find a book in the Bible when it's called out. You should be knowing and memorizing certain verses in Scripture that will be foundational for you. You should learn some of the key principles of what it means to be a Christian. Hopefully you have tucked those in and you are aware of those and they're foundational for you. But there's also a sense of practical wisdom. And that is what we mean by being a sophomore. There are certain things that you can learn and you understand they're true. You know the biblical principles. But the moron part comes when you take your Christian learning out into the world and you have not yet learned how to apply the wisdom of Scripture and your Christian experience in the world in which you live. That's the challenge you will face. Knowing how to act and conduct yourself. Knowing how to take the knowledge you have learned and transfer it or translate it into a life dealing with the basic things that you will face in life. These two ideas taken together reflect a desire to be successful in a life by following the guidance of God in the affairs of mankind. A sophomore is somebody, male or female, who does not acknowledge God and is therefore incapable of making proper moral judgments. Look around you. We have leaders in our country who in one breath say, God bless America, and in the other breath, they are saying things that are totally against the God they're asking to bless our nation. Those people are sophomores. They have the knowledge, but they don't know how to apply it in their daily life. We need to get rid of the sophomores in the leadership of our nation, just as a sidebar. She or he, as a sophomore, has no perception of ethical or spiritual claims. If you stay a sophomore instead of moving into the life God has for you, you will not be able to apply the lessons you have learned about ethics and integrity and honesty and truth and how the Spirit works in your life and how God can bless you and use you as a channel of His blessing to this world. And a sophomore refuses to acknowledge God's personal involvement in his life. So I want to challenge you one last time. Don't be a sophomore. Don't be someone who thinks they know it all and yet you don't know how to apply it in life. So to that end, in a moment, Pastor Jason's going to come up and he'll call the names of our graduates that we're recognizing. It'll be my privilege to hand to them a Bible. We're giving you a Bible as a gift, but we're not giving you a Bible because it makes a nice graduation gift. You know, on the list of things you can give a graduate, maybe somebody will say, oh, we should give them a Bible. That's not why we're giving you a Bible. Most of you have a Bible, right? You've got one, maybe more than one on your shelf. Why are we giving you these Bibles? Those of you who are graduating from high school, we're giving you a study Bible that has in it notes about apologetics, how to stand up for your faith, how to look in Scripture and defend the things that you say you believe, things you have trusted in and founded your life upon. These Bibles will be something that you will use as a tool, something that you will use as a guide for you when professors or friends or coworkers challenge what you have believed. It is a true fact that many that are your age that are moving out of high school or college will leave the church for a while. 70% of those will come back. But when you come back, what will you bring back to God's church? Will you bring changed behavior and changed associations? Will you already choose your life partner and choose your job and where you're going to live? Or will you let God have an impact in those decisions? Because you have said that He is your Lord and He is your life and He is your Savior. Then you need to continue to work on those things that He wants to pour into your life. And the Bibles we will give you will help you defend the things that you say that you have believed and are important to you. Now, if you're graduating from college, we're going to give you a study Bible that has with it a lot of notes that will help you to dig deeper into God's Word. You have shown yourself a good student. Going to college is not to prove that you've learned a lot of things. What you'll realize in a year or two is that college just taught you how to learn things. And that is the key thing you better get if you're going to make it out of college and into life. These Bibles that we will give you will help you then dig deeper into God's Word and then learn those things that will help channel all the resources and blessings and the amazing things that God has put within you and your parents have taught you and your church has given you. Take those things and use them to be a blessing in this world for God, a witness for God. Now, somebody much smarter than me has coined a phrase that goes like this. Sin will keep you from this Bible, or the Bible will keep you from sin. When you are going out into your life, whether out of high school into college or the workforce or the armed services or to a technical school, or if you're getting out of college and moving out into your career or to more education or to be a missionary or whatever God has leading you to do, your Bible should be your guide. It should be your focus and foundation. And if I have, the short time I've been your pastor, not taught you anything, I hope I've taught you this. It's not information that's important. It is transformation that God looks for. So don't tell me about all the stuff you know. That's sophos. That's wisdom. Make sure you're not a moron. Make sure that you are taking the things of God and applying them in how you live your life. God does not count you by the information you have amassed. He looks at your life and judges you by the transformation you have demonstrated. Don't be a sophomore. Does it make sense? Let God's wisdom and understanding flow from your life because you are grounded in the things He has taught you. One last word, and then I'm done, and that is this. If you have not yet done so, don't leave from this church or this community trusting in the relationship that your parents or grandparents have with God. Make sure that the relationship you have with the Lord is yours. It's got to be real. It's got to be more real than it's ever been, because the challenges you will face will drive you back to what is your foundation, what is real for you. Don't count on mom and dad. They may pray for you. Grandma and grandpa may be praying for you. Aunts and uncles may do that. But don't just trust in their relationship with God. Make sure you've got one yourself. And the first thing you can do so that you're not a wise fool is to make sure that if you know the truth about accepting Christ as Savior, that you have made sure that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. That's the greatest wisdom that you will ever have. Is that true, adults? That they will need. Let me pray for you, and then Pastor Jason is coming. Father, we want to thank you for your love. that reached out to us and called us to yourself. And we want to thank you for these graduates, both from high school and college today. Some are away from us. Most of them are here today. Father, there are people in this church who have taught them in Sunday school, have taken care of them in the nursery and child care, have taught them in daycare and Mother's Day out in pre-K. They have watched them as they've gone through grade school and elementary and through their high school years. They have cheered at their exploits on the football field, and they have watched as they've played soccer, and they've read the stories of how they've achieved in dance or in the swimming pool. Father, we are proud of these that are our graduates. And we pray for them because we know what they're about to face. Great opportunities, but great challenges. And we pray that we have been able to do our best to pour into them a love for you, a relationship with you, and the truth of your word that will stay with them. Lord, when I look at these lives, I see the potential that is there. Many of them I know better than others, and several of them have been in my home. I love them, and I care for them, and I want to see them succeed, not just in life, but to be a generation that is not afraid, not ashamed to stand for Christ. Would you bless them? Would you challenge them to step up and be a generation that lets the world know that it's good to trust in God, and He can always be trusted. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pastor Jason.
Okay. Well, it is my honor to be able to be with you this morning and to present to you these high school and college graduates that we will be honoring this morning. Graduates, as you, when we get to the portion, we call your name in just a moment. You will come up and receive a Bible from the pastor and then make your way over here to the side that you came from, but stand facing the congregation so that they can see you and celebrate that with you. We want to keep everybody up here, and at the end, everybody will be standing. We'll have some more instructions. Church, I want to tell you a little bit about this graduating class. This is an amazing class of graduates we have. Every year, God has blessed us with a group of graduates, and they're just fantastic. And this is no different. In this graduating class, I will tell you that these students are plugged in. They are involved. They are visible and very involved in the life of our church. In this graduating class, we have students that are accomplished both in the classroom and out of the classroom, and students that have been very involved in serving Christ and the church and involved in ministry in this graduating class. And you'll see in the program that we've provided, each student has, so many of them have accomplished so much in and outside the classroom. But I did want to mention some accomplishments just as a whole, as this group of graduates. We have in the high school graduates, we have 14 of them are graduating with academic honors. And so that's a tremendous accomplishment. We have 6 of them on National Honor Society. We have a valedictorian in this class. We have 7 of them that are presidents of a student organization or captain of a student team or squad. We have, 11 of them actually captains, or I'm sorry, 11 of them involved in athletics and sports teams as a whole. Almost every one of these students in the high school group has been involved this year in helping us lead in our student ministry. We have various ways that they've helped us to lead, one of which is to help us lead groups on Wednesday nights, talkback groups, community groups, and they have helped and helped us carve the path for that, and it's something new that we've tried this year, and they have helped us by leading out in that. It's been a tremendous blessing, and we have 3 that are in this class that have expressed calls to ministry. 2 of them have expressed call to missions. One of them has sensed a call to vocational ministry. And so we have a tremendous group of students here. We are very blessed. In our college graduates, we have 3 of those here that we are honoring this morning. And They are graduating with academic honors. They have one of them that's involved in was involved in NCAA Division II baseball, was a pitcher. And all three of them are committing to serve the Lord in their future careers. So we are excited about that, and praise God for what He is doing at this church. And I just want to take a second and thank you. Let me say thank you to the families that you're here honoring your students. I want to say thank you for entrusting your students with this ministry and allowing us to pour into them. Because I want to tell you, as I look at them, I see a lot of students who I love very dearly, and they really put wind in my sails as a minister. So I want to say thank you for that. The other thing I want to say is to the church, thank you for your long-term investment into these graduates. God has used you. The pastor mentioned a little while ago, God has used you on so many levels. Some of them have grown up here their whole life. Some of them came when they were children in the children's ministry. Some of them have come in the last year or two and have come through our student ministry. But you have made a tremendous impact on their lives, on are very much a part of where we are this morning. So with that being said, I would like to present to you our graduates. And so if we could go ahead and we'll let the pastor get in place here. All right. And we're going to just call you in order and then have you go to the appropriate side of the stage. First graduate we have this morning is Madison Adair. Madison is going to be graduating from All Branch High School. She plans to go to the University of Mississippi. Then she wants to go to either to NYU or to MTSU, but she wants to major in audio engineering, and she plans to serve the Lord by getting more involved in the community service and helping others. Second graduate is Braxton Brock. Braxton is graduating from Lewisburg High School. He's going to be going to Mississippi State University, going to be majoring in sports administration, and plans to serve God through a personal walk and relationship with Christ while being a light for others. And just so you know, we're going to give you a chance to applaud them really big when we get done here. So if y'all want to hold that, we'll hoop and holler in just a little bit and celebrate that. Third graduate we have is Aaron Brooks. Aaron is graduating from Olive Branch High School. She's going to be going to Mississippi State. She wants to major in biology, and she wants to serve God by being a light for Christ on her campus. A little angel there, isn't that? All right. The next graduate is Mary Madeline Case. Mary is graduating from Olive Branch High School. She's going to be going to Mississippi College, where she plans to major in kinesiology, and she wants to serve God by getting involved in a church and forming a close, impactful relationship with other students there. Fifth graduate we have, the next graduate is Matt Cole. Matt is going to be graduating from Lewisburg High School. Matt's headed to Northeast Mississippi Community College, where he's going to major in physical therapy, and he wants to serve God by being a light for Christ on his campus. Our next graduate is Casey Collette. Casey is graduating from Center Hill High School. She's headed to Northwest Mississippi Community College, where she wants to major in social work. She wants to serve God in her college years by yielding to God's will in her life. Our next graduate is Harley Darby. Harley's graduating from Lewisburg High School. She is going to be headed to Delta State University, where she's going to major in nursing. She plans to serve the Lord in every way possible on her college campus. Our next graduate is Rosa Gaines. Rosa's graduating from Olive Branch High School, where she's headed to William Carey University, where she's going to major in music therapy. And she's going to serve God by being a Christ-like example on and off her campus and by using her music as a tool to serve others. Our next graduate is Becca Hankins. Becca is graduating from Olive Branch High School. She's headed to Union University. She's going to be majoring in social work. And she wants to serve God by serving as a student missionary with the IMB this summer by using social work as her ministry to help others. Our next graduate, Austin Harmon. Austin is graduating from Center Hill High School, and he is headed to Northeast Community College. He's undecided in his major right now, but he does plan to serve the Lord by being a godly example on his campus and to spread the word of the Lord every chance he has. Our next graduate is Eric Heights. Eric is graduating from Olive Branch High School. He's headed to Northwest Mississippi Community College, where he wants to major in psychology. He wants to serve the Lord by living like Christ every day. He says, he also expresses interest in one day being a youth pastor and feels called towards vocational ministry. Our next graduate is Garrett Holland. Garrett is graduating from Olive Branch High School. He is undecided on where he's going to go next, but he does want to major in exercise science or athletic training. He wants to serve God by allowing God to work through him to make an impact on his peers. We have a graduate that is not here this morning, and that's Ryan McDaniel. And Ryan is going to be graduating from Center Hill, and he's headed to Northeast Mississippi Community College and then eventually to Mississippi State. He wants to serve the Lord by continuing to find ways to help others in need. Our next graduate is Madison Phillips. Madison is graduating from Olive Branch High School. She's headed to Northeast Mississippi Community College. She's going to major in nursing, and she wants to serve the Lord by growing closer with the Lord and relying on her trust and faith in God and serving Him in any way possible. Our next graduate is Chandler Scrocky. Chandler is graduating from Olive Branch High School. She's headed to Blue Mountain College, where she wants to major in secondary education. And she wants to serve the Lord by going to a private Christian college to make sure that she surrounds herself with like-minded, godly people and friends. Our next graduate is Alyssa Tandy. Alyssa is graduating from Lewisburg High School. And she's headed to Union University in the fall of 2016. She's going to be on the mission field prior to that, after this summer. She wants to major eventually in education. And this summer, she's going to be serving the Lord by participating in the World Race Gap Year Ministry from September through May of 2016, and then serving others locally on her college campus at Union. Our next graduate is Sarah Ward. And Sarah is graduating from Olive Branch High School. She's headed to Blue Mountain College. She's going to be majoring in biology, and she plans to serve the Lord there. One way she wants to do that is by being involved in a local church ministry on her campus and in that area. These are our high school graduates, and y'all give them a hand. Now, we do have, amen, do have a few more names I want to make you aware of, and one more graduate. We have three college graduates. Two of them could not be here this morning due to just other obligations, but we do have one that is here. I want to go ahead and tell you who the two that are not here this morning, so that you know who they are, and because you will know who they are, so you can be celebrating with their family. And then we want to bring this other graduate up. The first of the college graduates is Ben Bickley, and Ben Bickley is graduating from the University of Mississippi with a bachelor in music, and he's going to be attending Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary next to pursue a master's in church music, and he plans to serve the Lord during this time by being a worship leader at Pine Grove Christian Camp. Of course, he did that last summer. He's going to be doing that this summer again. So we praise the Lord for that. And then also Drew Milligan is graduating from Delta State University with a Bachelor of Business and Administration and Marketing. He plans to join the workforce. That's his next step. And he wants to serve God by leading by example in the workplace and by getting to know coworkers to the point that he can share and witness to them. Thirdly, we have Devin Hadley, who is graduating. Devin is with us this morning. Is she here? Yeah, there she is. She's over there. Devin is going to be graduating. She's graduating from William Carey University with a Master of Science in Counseling Psychology. And she is working as a residential counselor for youth villages. And so she's working on getting her hours so she can become a licensed counselor, striving to follow the plan of the Lord. And she put down a Bible passage, and I'll read this. It says, Matthew 25:40, "And the king will answer them, I assure you, whatever you did for the one of least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." So these are all of our graduates. Amen. We praise God for what he is doing in our midst and with all of these lives that we see, that you see before you. Pastor, I think I'm going to turn it over to you and let you lead us through the next little bit here.
What we want to do in this time of invitation is certainly extend an invitation to anyone who wants to make sure that they're not a sophomore, that they know the things about God and they want to commit their life to him. That'd be a major decision for you to make today. But we also want to allow this opportunity for the parents of these students to come and during this invitation time to just have a moment of prayer and blessing upon them. And we want to give you that opportunity. If grandparents want to come too, that's fine. But we want to make sure that all of our students get an opportunity to be blessed by their families. So students or graduates, if you would, just spread out a little bit. Give yourself some room between you and let your parents or family members come up and bless you. If you happen to see a graduate whose parents is not able to be here, somebody come up and tell them how great they are and that we want God to bless them in their life. So parents, if you would come as we have this time.
Would you please stand as we continue to worship, pray for these students. Pray for your seat. Stretch out your hand and pray for them. This song hopefully is the prayer for their hearts this morning. Give me one pure and holy passion. And give me one magnificent obsession. Give me one glorious ambition for my life, to know and follow hard after you. Give me one pure and holy passion. Give me one magnificent obsession. Give me one glorious ambition for my life, to know and follow hard after you. To know and follow hard after you. To grow as your disciple in your This world is empty, pale, and poor compared to knowing you, my Lord. Lead me on, and I will run after you. Lead me on, and I will run after you. Give me one pure and holy. Magnificent obsession. Give me one glorious ambition for my life, to know and follow hard after you. To know and follow hard after you. Your disciple in your truth. This world is empty, pale, and poor compared to knowing you, my Lord. Lead me on, and I will run after you. Lead me on, and I will run after you.
Give me one magnificent session. Give me one glorious ambition for my life. So know and follow hard after you.
Hey, the graduates have stayed up here on the front row, and Pastor Jason's going to come and do a closing prayer. Am I doing right, or am I messing up? I'm doing right? Okay. And he's going to come and voice that prayer. Just so that we have a part in that, we're going to ask those that are on that second row, just reach out and put a hand upon that graduate in front of you, just to kind of be the hand of our congregation upon them. And everyone else, if you would just extend your hands toward them. They have a lot of potential that God has given them, and we just pray that they'll know of our love. And, oh, by the way, I may not have had a whole lot of involvement in all of your lives, a little bit here and there, but if you ever need somebody, give me a call, send me a text, and I'll do my best to come alongside of you and help you, because I've learned to love you and care about you. And besides that, you're just awesome looking, so you deserve that. Pastor Jason's going to voice our prayer, and congregation, let's extend a hand just to be a blessing to them.